B-Pod Studios.
Okay, let's talk Patriots. The line is going nuts-a-roo. Green Bay, if I'm not mistaken, not a huge juggernaut on offense right now. But it was a five. Packers were getting five, or were giving five. Opening line, Packers now nine, 10.5 in some places. Joe, you talked to someone who said that Mac Jones was worth 3 points in the spread. Mac Jones is that important to this game according to Vegas?
So, Dan, we've talked about this a couple of times, but Mac Jones is worth a lot to the Patriots in the spread, whether he plays or not.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard 3 points, and I talked to a guy who makes lines, and he said 3 points, but why is it five? So to explain this one, the look-ahead line was 5 points. Now it's 9, 10.
10.5, you said?
10.5.
Wow.
So does that say more about Mac Jones being out or more about Brian Hoyer being the quarterback?
Well, what happened was when Jones essentially got hurt, the line, they reopened the line at 9.5. Then a whole bunch of bettors came in and took 9.5 because they obviously don't think the Patriots are going to cover with Brian Hoyer. And that moved the line to 10.5. And then a bunch of sharp moves came in yesterday. Now it's back to 9.5.
All right. So the sharps are not buying a blowout.
No, they're not. I mean, it's look, I like the Patriots prior to the Jones injury. I thought they were going to go into Green Bay, and I thought they had a good chance to win this week. Green Bay's run defense has been piss poor. I mean, they've been real bad so far. You know, Chicago was able to move the ball in that Sunday night game, I believe, just by running the ball with Montgomery the whole time.
Yeah, barely threw the ball. Yep.
Their offensive line play is not good. I mean, the Patriots, at least run game, you know, on the O-line is significantly better. So they could have moved the ball, I thought, and really dominated that game just on the ground. Hoyer is going to be a different set of circumstances. You really don't know. If this was Josh McDaniel's system, I think you could say that, you know, at least Hoyer knows the system really well. The drop off from Mac might not be as big, but it's a brand new system. Who knows? And so 3 points is kind of like the given value surrounding.
Okay,
them.
Can I ask you a question? When Belichick won't talk at all about injury, does that affect the sharp gambler, or are you guys know what's going on anyway?
It depends on the situation. Like the Miami situation, we had, you know, Mike McDaniel was like, well, I think Tua is going to play, but we don't know. Right. And so, you know, the line moved up to 4, 4.5. And
the
then,
Chargers, the look of them last week too.
Yeah. With
that
Herbert,
was a weird
the Herbert situation.
Yeah. But they don't, but they didn't really know if Herbert was going to play.
Game time decision.
But they set a line based off of what they think is going to happen based off their information.
Right.
And were they right?
No, so I mean the market moved off of off 7 because everyone started hearing that Herbert wasn't going to play, went down to 3, and then when Herbert came back in, it went back up to 6.5, 7.
Oh.
So he probably shouldn't have played. Well, yeah,
I think he hurt the team. I do, and he doesn't. Yeah. What does he have to prove at this point? I know he's trying to get back out there.
I just can't believe he's taking the medical advice of a guy who basically ruined Tyrod Taylor and is getting sued for $5 million. So to me, you got to protect that guy at all costs.
Well, and while we're on that, what about Mac Jones? I mean, you know, he's thrown into a new offense this year. There's two sides here. Is he trying to do this for his long-term career, or does he not want surgery? The guy's never had surgery. He's never really ever lost in his career. But he's been thrown into the situation now. The offense isn't clicking. He's got a new offensive coordinator. Like, is he looking at it as like, well, I've done everything you guys have said. So, like, I want to do this with me. I want to wait this one out because he could have a surgery just like his former teammates have had.
I'm a little shocked.
He could come back soon.
Which is not that invasive, by the way.
No. It's like 30 minutes long from what I heard.
30-minute procedure, and then they come back and they take out the box.
However, I am shocked that we are 4 days past the injury and he still hasn't gotten surgery.
That might be a swelling issue. So, if we really want to speculate, because, you know, sometimes they can't operate if there's, like, too much swelling.
Okay.
I mean, based
on this doctor,
line,
so I don't know. It just seems odd.
Dude, I don't know.
Yeah.
But based on this line, I don't think he's playing.
He's not playing,
but it's whether he's going to be out 3, 4 weeks or 8 weeks, you know?
Yeah, the compelling thing about the Hoyer injury is he's not playing this weekend.
Jones
is that he's not playing this weekend. But the thing is that surgery, from everything that we've all read, is very effective, groundbreaking. And there's really no downside to it because it's not, you're not risking anything. They're just, it's a, like you, we've said, 20, 30 minute procedure where they just thread these tendons and then they even take the stuff out.
Yeah.
Like just done.
Tua and Hurts, I mean, have they had ill effects?
No.
Over, these, well, I mean, over the following years? I mean, you're right, though. The
two danger, undefeated team. Yeah.
The danger, my point is the danger is at a minimum if he has it.
Right. So why
both
wouldn't
now
he get it?
And in years from now, you don't see all of a sudden an ankle break 2 years after having tightrope surgery.
Exactly. And so so there's really no downside to having it. So it would mean like something like either he's petrified of surgery or, like you said, he's thinking long term, like Garoppolo style, and saying, do I really want to play out the entire season? Like, he's obviously going to come back, but play out the entire season taking this amount of punishment.
You guys did a pretty good job of putting this stat's pretty hysterical. You had Brian Hoyer's last four starts and their spreads. At Packers in 22, minus 10. At Chiefs, these are, by the way, the opposing team's favored, minus 11. At Dolphins in 19, minus 11. 17 at Washington, minus 12. Vegas, not a big fan.
Yeah, he's lost 11 straight starts. That's the current record.
I mean, they didn't cover any of those games either.
Okay, so but that's a theme right now with the NFL, and not just the Patriots, but the NFL in general. The unders are, Dan, the unders are, this is the thing right now, right?
I think the first couple weeks were, even last week was okay. The overs are starting to tick up. Like
62% unders and underdogs.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll tell you, like tonight, I like the over. Like, tonight would be the primetime games have pretty much, I think it's like 1-11.
Yeah, primetime unders are where it's at.
But everyone's going to bet the under tonight, too. And, you know, that's the thing. I like the over, too.
There's going to be some fresh unis for the Bengals tonight, too.
Oh, the white with the black?
The whites tonight?
Yeah. Oh, they're wearing the wage ones.
Yes. I'm a little torn on this game, but I think the Bengals, who've been bad, right? And Burrow was better last week. I want to back them on an emotional win off from the Dolphins winning that game going on the road this week, but
it's
the Bengals faced nothing last week.
Yeah,
but having watched that game, T. Higgins scored on a touchdown where Jets Whitehead, the safety, had a clean shot at him, a shot that NFL players dream of, one that Merriweather put people out for the year on, and he bounced right off of him. And then Flacco was, I read some advanced metric where he was off on something like 60% of his passes were off target. Like, he was ridiculous. That game was awful. So I take nothing away from that Bengals win.
Yeah, but it's the worst spot maybe in the entire schedule for Miami. Off Buffalo, off your off heat exhaustion, you're the most banged up by the season. Quarterback, your wide receiver, your left tackle. I mean,
then the Bengals offensive line is getting better. They were atrocious the first 2 weeks of the season. They succeeded against the Jets, and the Jets have a decent pass rush, and they protected Burrow in that game.
So funny enough, Fred, actually someone did a deep dive on the Bengals offensive line a couple weeks ago, someone very sharp, and basically the determination is has nothing to do with the Bengals offensive line. It has to do entirely with Joe Burrow holding onto the football. He is holding onto the ball right now. Right now, the second most in the entire league.
Wow.
And he has been awful. So at some point, that's an adjustment that Burrow needs to make, not the offensive line. And it's because teams are playing zone against them. They need to run some other stuff and whatever. But I think that today is a pretty good game to back Cincinnati. I mean, the sharp market took off. They opened -2. That went to -3 in about 10 minutes. And then after that, 3.5. And now we're in, and then we got to 4.5. Tua was ruled in. So it's come back to 3.5. But I don't think we're going to see a flat 3. And I think Cincinnati is definitely the sharp side.
Okay, two quick questions before we let you guys go. Number one, once again, what are you doing for the Patriots game? Are you going to put any money either way?
I know Dan's
big
going.
Spread.
I'm going. I took 10.5.
You took 10.5. Okay.
I took 10.5.
I'm out on the game. It would be Packers or nothing for me. But I will say, Packers have not been good. Like,
yeah,
their defense has been okay. I know Dan mentioned that stopping the run. But the line, the Patriots haven't been as bad as we've watched. I will honestly say that. And I've said it to you guys. I don't think Mac Jones has been great. I wonder if it's a different thing and everyone kind of rallies around Brian Hoyer. I think what we saw in that Kansas City Chiefs game was just they flew in that day, man. It was a bad day, and I just...
They were in it at halftime.
I just...
They
I think there. He runs a good offense. It's just we know once there's film on him, that's when he struggles.
Okay, and then finally, I have to ask you about a game that is going to be happening this weekend in college football. Rutgers plus 40 and a half at Ohio State.
Still riding high off of the BC win.
Oh, 40
great comfort behind me.
And yeah. a half. Like I don't know the last time I've seen a spread that large.
We've talked about this. There's been bigger ones this year. There's Michigan, Hawaii this year.
Oh yeah, every week there's spreads that big. But
at I don't pay attention to the spreads on college football.
They won last year 52 to 10 or something.
Okay.
Yeah, the 40 I wouldn't even worry.
We talked about this game yesterday. We did the podcast. It'll be going up this morning. I liked Ohio State
to win by more than 40 and a half.
Dude,
they beat BC by 90.
They're rolling like right now. They scored 77 against Toledo the other day. They scored 52 against Wisconsin.
Yeah, Wisconsin's a pretty good defensive team.
Yeah. Like and Rutgers is like one of the lower tier bottom five power five teams, excuse me. So this could, they could honestly put up 70 points against them again.
Okay.
Got a little underdog action in this one. Give me Oklahoma State. We can ring the bell on that one.
Oh! Oh, the bell!
I was going to save it for Saturday, Dan, but... Going against Baylor at home this week.
He couldn't even resist. He's so hot on it. He had to get the information out.
And one more I wanted to throw out there to you guys. They have odds on Sean Payton's next team.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's the Cowboys, the favorite.
Of course, yeah.
Panthers are second. I didn't see the Patriots in there. And I don't know. I'm not saying it's next year with Belichick or whatever, but at some point, like, would you ever look down the road at a guy like him to take over?
I'm telling you, I just didn't see him on the list.
I think
the Crafts are going to look at a new, young mind. I think that's the shift, and I believe that they are probably frustrated with this team right now being infected with the old ways of doing things.
Okay.
It's not going to be next year or anything like that.
I don't think it'll be this season.
But when he's gone, I don't think that they're going to do anyone from this current tree. I don't think it's going to be a Matt Patricia. I don't think it's even going to be. Maybe if Josh McDaniels fails royally and they were to bring him back.
No.
I know you don't want him, but couldn't you see the Crafts doing that?
He's horrendous. Rich, he's horrendous. The team sucks.
If he fails at Vegas,
The team sucks. Denver, he's not coming here. He's not getting a head coach.
Crafts love him. They love him.
That's good. Crafts is way smarter than that. No way. Give Kraft credit.
But I'll just tell you this, is that life is not going to be nearly as fun for Bill Belichick as it has been for the last 20 years. You get used to a certain amount of fawning and praise, and then when that all goes away.
Yeah, if you go 5-12 this year, which, by the way, is a possibility, I don't think the Crafts are going to go, let's give this young guy a shot.
My point is that even if the Crafts wanted to make a move but didn't want to, fire Belichick, that maybe it wouldn't take that much convincing for Bill to walk away once the shine is or the bloom is off the road.
If you think the Patriots can make a comeback this year, you can get Bill Belichick coach of the year at 8,800 right now.
Well, how about this? Here's a scenario. What if Brady wins the Super Bowl this year?
Yeah.
I mean, they're the team I bet. So if Brady wins the Super Bowl, he's now distanced himself from Belichick. I mean, there's no coming back for that from Bill, right? I mean, once you're down two Super Bowls, and I was a Bill over Brady guy. I was wrong, but like the fact was, like if Brady wins two Super Bowls without you. Yeah. You ain't coming back from that, no matter what.
And then the Crafts will call Sean Payton.
He's 60 years old. They're not calling Sean Payton.
All right, no. Feinbaum made the point about Saban, because they're like, would Saban ever leave, because he just signed that huge deal? Like, and he's old too. And Feinbaum was like, here's what would happen, is if Kirby Smart starts getting all these top recruits, Alabama loses 2-3 games a couple years in a row. Like, he made a great point. He's like, all of a sudden, you're not the guy anymore. Like you're getting challenged a little bit. The boosters are on your case. Like, it's not as fun. So I got to imagine for Bill Belichick, your record without Brady starts getting pretty bad, and you're not talked about in hushed tones. And like when you walk into a room, players don't get erections. Like
day by day.
Yeah, day by day. That was hacky.
Why keep doing that? Like, you're struggling.
And also, like, your fan base wants to know. Like, it's not, you don't, you're not, like, just helping the reporter. The fan base wants to know. All right, very good. The Bankroll Boys, ladies and gentlemen, play the sound. The Bankroll Boys, in a very hushed tone, the sound. No need to turn it up any louder. The Bankroll Boys.
Thank you, guys.
7 to 9 Saturday mornings, plus you can get the over-under 98.5 podcast. Dan Livschitz, Joe Murray, thank you so much.